I invite you to join me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, our scripture reading for the sermon today. We'll begin in verse 18 and I'll read to verse 24. Receive this now, the living and active word of the Lord. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown they are not all of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you have knowledge. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Messiah? This is the anti-Messiah, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's children said, Amen. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, O Lord, our Lord, as we are before you and your word, we ask that you open our eyes to behold your ways and our ears to hear your voice. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight, for you are our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer, and all of God's children said,
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, the day our service began with a baptism, Christ's welcome of a little one. And our passage today mentions antichrists, those who do not apparently welcome Jesus Christ. So pastorally, I thought, how in the world, other than saying this is where we are in the text of 1 John, how in the world should this be presented? Is there a connection at all? How are we to understand and follow and learn from this passage? And I considered to introduce the sermon this way. Her desperation was profound. She cried out loud. Her cries were extreme. The present experience of this lady was enveloped in both absence and abandonment. She was in despair, concluding that God was absent. But the presence of God was not with her or even for her. For others, sure, yes, but not for her. Because of her sins, she considered herself abandoned by the Lord. Her sins, past and present, weighed upon her like a crushing load, and it was worse during the night. When she was alone, but she was not completely alone. She was joined by the darkness and the awareness of the condemnation she knew she deserved. All of this covered her like the blankets. Was there any hope for her? Was there a word of grace anywhere? Silence. Smothering silence. She said no word was given, and the silence increased in volume. If God is absent and silent, then there is no one who knows her sins like she knows her sins. Her cries were also questions. Was forgiveness possible? Was grace available for someone like me? Where is Jesus? Where is Emmanuel? I thought that meant God with us. Such desperation is a form of Christlessness. She wanted Christ, and she wondered if Christ wanted her. We'll return to this at the end of the sermon. Going through 1 John has brought us to the subject of Antichrist. This subject is often surrounded with odd suggestions and weird ideas. Often it's crazed and confused, and we wonder what's going on. And we begin to think that maybe REM had something right when they said, it's the end of the world as we know it. But nobody feels fine. Regarding the Antichrist, suggestions and ideas have been all over the map, so much so that the map has become blurry. So may the Lord preserve me from contributing to the blur. Today I will avoid pointing to the plethora of possibilities of the who's and the what's and the when's that I have heard over the years. I will avoid that, and I will strive to point to Antichrist basics. Antichrist basics. Well, there are only four verses in the Bible which specifically mention Antichrist or Antichrist, and they're all in John's letters. Antichrist is not mentioned in the book of Revelation. It is often mistakenly thought that the biblical address for all of the Antichrist references is in the Revelation of St. John. Why is this a big deal? They're only found in John's letters, and they're not found in John's Apocalypse. John wrote them both. If he wanted to bring forth Antichrist or Antichrist in Revelation, he had the term for it. Today you will hear, you've already heard, that I'm going back and forth between Antichrist and Anti-Messiah. You could even squeeze that out a little bit and go, oh, Anti-Anointed One. The context. This context is going to be offered so that we can get our bearings and hopefully avoid some of the blur. Since all of that old covenant world of pre-Messiah Judaism is passing away, that's what John just said in verse 17, the world is passing away. Since all of that is passing away, and since Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, has ushered in a new world, for someone to stand back and to continue to adhere to that old world is a rejection, a standing against, an anti to the Christ, to the Messiah, and his new world. So today we're going to do three things. We're going to take a look at the four verses that present to us Antichrist basics. We'll see them in order. Next, by the way, it's important to see what the Bible actually says about this and not go to Dr. Google or Professor Wikipedia. We want to see what the Bible says. And then after having done that, I will attempt to give the sense of these verses 18 through 24 speaking to you as if we were sitting with the elderly John and having a discussion about the things he has written, his letters. John hopefully will be able to explain it to us plainly and conversationally. And finally, I will conclude by revisiting the scene presented at the beginning of this sermon, pointing out a desperation of Christlessness and the great joy of Christ's presence still. So the four verses, let's go ahead and begin. What are the four verses? We'll begin because the first one is in our passage today. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Antichrist basics, this was predicted. 1 John 2, 18. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, where was this heard? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 24, just before the destruction of Jerusalem, just before the doing away of the symbol of that old world, there are going to be false Christs popping up. That's not all. John, the same writer of this epistle, also said in John 15 and 16, there's going to come a time when there are people who, in the name of God, believing as if they're serving the Lord, will kick you out of the synagogues, oppose you, because they're going to oppose me. Don't be surprised. I'm telling you this now so that when it happens, you're not surprised. So the first thing in our Antichrist basics, we have to, this was predicted. There shouldn't be any surprises, John is saying. Next, we can't leave 1 John 2:18 yet because there are two more notes. And I'm going to go ahead and keep the letter P. It was predicted. John's also going to say it's a present concern and it's plural. So take a look. 1 John 2:18, John continues. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, it's predicted, even now. It's a present concern. Many Antichrists have been revealed. So that's the present concern. Next, it's plural. John does not say, you've heard about Antichrist as the topic. Even now, it's plural. Many Antichrists have shown up. So when John is not saying this is sometime far off or far, far away in a galaxy somewhere else, he's saying this is a present concern, even now. And in John's day already, many had shown up. More than one? Yes. Stay in our passage. Keep reading to verse 19. The word they is going to show up six times, and as I read verse 19, I'm going to emphasize the word they. So listen, follow along. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. This is the first time in John's letter of pastoral affection that he uses the word they. Up to this point, he uses us and we and I and you and children and my dear children. And now he says they. This shows a significant divide. It also shows that the theys were known. They were with us and they went out from us. And by the way, this going out was more of a posture of rejection, a standing against Jesus as the Christ or the Messiah. I don't want anything to do with him. No, I reject. This was not someone moving to a new city, going to another church, or asking questions about the mode of baptism. This is somebody saying, I'll have nothing to do with him. So where are we so far? It's been predicted. It's a present concern. It's plural. And also, they knew these people. That's the first verse that deals with the Antichrists. Second verse is in verse 22. So take a look at verse 22. I've not written to you, who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. The Antichrists are marked by denial of the Son and the Father. Consider this in context. Those who reject the Messiah are those who are rejecting the Father, the one who promised the Messiah. They are actually rejecting the testimony of the Father. They're rejecting the testimony that the Father put in place over the ages of the old world, which all pointed forward to the coming Messiah. All of the promises are yes and amen in Jesus, and these are saying no and no way. All of the sacrifices are fulfilled in Jesus, and they're saying, I will not have his sacrifice for me. No. The priesthood is fulfilled in Jesus. No, we have our own priesthood. Jesus is that final temple, building it up, and they're saying, no, we would rather have the one with all the big, beautiful stones. To reject Jesus as the fulfillment of everything that the Father provided is actually a rejection of the Son and the Father. And you know, they even claim that they're doing this to be faithful to the Lord. Our rejection of Jesus, and those of you who are of Jesus, is actually part of our faithfulness to God. John's gospel. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue. John 16, verse 2. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you that he thinks he's offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. It's all consistent. And so that's why John in the very next verse says, whoever denies the Son does not even have the Father. And the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. They are a package deal. Third passage that mentions the Antichrist. Remember, we're just walking through the Antichrist basics. Turn your Bibles to the right to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I'll begin reading in verse 1, but the mention is in verse 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus, the Messiah, has come in the flesh is from God. Verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is that which is of the Antichrist, or the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming and is now already in the world. You can see how all this fits together. Those who are rejecting Jesus as anti-Messiah do so from a false and unholy spirit, which moves them to reject and to renounce the very one of whom the Holy Spirit says, yes. Jesus said in John 15, 26, that when the Spirit comes, he will testify of me. What's the work of the Holy Spirit primarily? Pointing to Jesus, pointing to Jesus, pointing to Jesus. And if somebody says, no, I will not follow that path, they're of a false and unholy spirit. Their testimony is, Jesus is not from the Father. The Holy Spirit's testimony is, Jesus is the one. Final passage of the four, if you'll turn, continue to the right to 2 John, the very next letter of John. 2 John, I will be reading verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Messiah as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver, and the Antichrist. There. What's going on? It's as if their thoughts are the Christ, the Messiah, certainly would not show up in the flesh. That's not the way God does things. Further, since Jesus showed up in the flesh, he cannot be the Christ. As a matter of fact, they would say, he was so fleshy that his flesh hung on a cross and died. That's part of the offense of the cross. What? You've got to be kidding. So they conclude that the Messiah has not arrived. The Messiah is not here. He is not the Messiah. There. Those are the Antichrist basics. If you want to go to the specific mentions. So now what's next? Let us revisit our passage. And with all of this in mind, I've asked the question, what would it have been like for John and the congregation to have gathered and to have had a discussion over what he wrote? They've gathered together, and somebody asks, "Dear Pastor John, what's going on?" I can imagine the aged pastor answering and saying something that might sound like this. "Dear children, some big changes are happening. The end of an age is upon us. Jesus the Christ has brought in a new world, and this means that things have to change from the way they were. I've called this the last hour. We know it is the end of that time and the beginning of this new era because Jesus said this was going to happen. He also told us that some would rise up and oppose him and us. This is happening now. We all see what is going on. Dear children, while it is distressing, let us not be surprised. Those who are opposing Jesus as the Messiah, they had spent some time among us. We shared a number of things. We heard the same message. We even know their names. However, they have concluded that Jesus is not the promised one. And so, they have taken their stand against the Lord and against his anointed. That's why they left. All of this is revealing. They rejected Jesus as the Christ and left. Yet you have received Jesus as the Christ and you have remained. You have remained not because you are so good. You have stayed around because of what you were given. You were given an anointing. Remember, dear children, Christ means anointed one. And those who have left us are saying, no, he is not the anointed one. He is not the Christ. Yet you all have received an anointing. And that's why you believe the truth as it is in Jesus, the Holy One. They have rejected the anointed one, and you have received the anointed one. Like us, they were filled with expectation for the promise of God to be fulfilled in the coming of the Messiah. However, they have concluded that Jesus could not be the fulfillment of all those promises of the Old Covenant, that Jesus is not the gift of the Father. I've mentioned this before, perhaps you'll remember. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. This means that their rejection of Jesus is also a rejection of God the Father. But I have one final note. Dear congregation, I urge you to press on, because at times like this, it might be easy to doubt and to allow questions to claim the day. Hold on to the ancient message. Jesus is the fulfillment of the ancient scriptures. Abide in what you have heard from the beginning, because our God always keeps His promises, and He will always keep you. Let us conclude. What's a pastor to say? What's any of us to say? The primary situation of these antichrists pertain to that time and to that congregation and the place of Jesus, the Christ. We tend to miss this because we are not used to thinking about that world or that time or that context. And now, while that is the immediate situation, this does not mean that there is nothing for us now, because similar concerns are still present. So what's a pastor to say? What are you to say? It remains true that to reject or to deny or to be anti the only Christ that has ever been given will be a place of profound desperation. Profound desperation we still see. So what's a pastor to say? 1 John is a letter of pastoral affection, and there is a profound pastoral concern here. And if the only promised one is rejected or renounced, we should expect a flood of desperation coming in, or the crying screams of someone who senses abandonment and silence. The Antichrist types were convinced, and they stood against Christ and did not want Him. However, today, there are many, some even like the lady I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon. They are convinced that Christ stood against her and that He didn't want her. What are we to say? She needed to hear that Christ was available for her, for people like her, for people like you, dear lady. Christ came and is still available. The haunt of her past sins and the tenacity of her present sins can be pardoned and put away, for the Lord has given His word in Jesus. John's gospel is very instructive in this. Toward the end, I'll just mention this to you. In John chapter 20, that lady needed what's here in John 20. She needed this. Jesus has died, He has been resurrected, and it's the first day of the week. The disciples were closed in behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Jesus walks in and comes among His disciples and says, "Peace be with you." And we want to say, "And also with you." But that's what Jesus does with His closed-door disciples. "Peace be with you," knowing what the disciples need. And when He had said this, He showed them both His hands and His side. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. And if you have forgiven the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they have been retained or remain." The haunt of her past sins have been blown away, and the tenacity of present sins have been pardoned because of our Lord, the Prince of Peace, who gives peace. And what great rejoicing is present. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. And we thank you as well for the gift of your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word. By your Spirit, continue to convict us and point us to Jesus Christ. And by your Word, do the same. Grant, Lord, that we show that we belong to your Son by faithful adherence and remaining and abiding. Heavenly Father, thank you for your clear Word. May we show ourselves to be faithful disciples. And we ask this in the matchless name of Jesus, the only Christ, and amen.